Henley, this is Finley Edge, and since I am dictating this on a tape rather than writing a letter, I would like to address this early part both to you and to your wife, Helen. We send greetings from Lavinia and both of the boys, and let you know that everything is getting along beautifully down here in Florida. The weather is beautiful, short-sleeve weather, enjoyable so far as playing golf and fishing are concerned. One of the major things that I wanted to do in this was to express personal congratulations to Helen for completing her doctorate study. I know that you are very proud of her, and all of the rest of us are proud of her, and know that she did an excellent job in this study. The only thing is that I wish that Lavinia and I had been there to be a part of all that has been going on. Surely hope everything is going well so far as the health of both of you and all of the members of your family. By the way, I did read the book that your daughter wrote on the fellow who had the heart transplant, and it was magnificently done. Very, very good. Now let's come to the item. By the way, I wanted to tell you that you had come up with another excellent idea in seeking to try to get an oral history concerning the visit of Martin Luther King Jr. on our campus back in 1961. I was there and was involved in the luncheon, and I have thought about that day and experience, I'm sure, at least 100 times over the years, but unfortunately, details of information simply do not come back to me and have not come back to me over the years. I think that it would is unfortunate that those of us who were at Southern Seminary at the time are not now able to get together and have a joint conference together, because where one person may recall an incident, it may be a stimulation for someone else to recall an incident so far as his memory is concerned. But I guess that would not be possible. So let me try to respond very unfortunately, very generally to the items that you listed on the paper. Item number one, members of the committee who invited King and under what lectureship. I really have no idea who were the members of the committee, nor do I recall what committee it was that sponsored his visit on our campus, unless it was what was at that time the lecture committee. The thing that I remember is that when the invitation was discussed in our faculty meeting, there, as I recall, was some slight difference of opinion, and it seems to me that I recall that Dr. McCall pointed out that to invite him would unleash some of the hostility that was growing in the churches of the South on Southern Seminary. And I'm sure, as you recall, the First Baptist Church of Dothan did withhold its money from Southern Seminary in its offerings to the cooperative program. Concerning the activities of the day, this also is only a vague memory at this time. I have no idea who met him nor who served as his host while he was on campus. The major speech that I recall was the one that he delivered in chapel, and if I recall, they continued a question and answer period for those who did not have a class immediately following the chapel service. The thing that I remember was that all of us who were present sat spellbound by what he had to say. And at the conclusion of the speech, as I recall, there was a standing ovation given to him by the faculty and students and others who were present. Concerning the third question, I do not have any knowledge about a petition for open housing that was drawn up by the students and presented to Dr. King, who in turn presented it to the mayor of Louisville. The major thing that I recall was the fact that I was privileged, along with you and some others, to be in the car in which Martin Luther King Jr. Went downtown to the luncheon engagement. And if my memory serves me correctly, I sat in the back seat next to Martin Luther King Jr. I unfortunately do not recall any of our conversation during that time, nor do I recall any of the program or conversations that went on during the luncheon hour. Concerning the results of Dr. King's visit, I would say that in terms of my being present on the campus from 1939 as a student, from 1947 as an official faculty person, I do not recall at this time anything that happened on the campus of Southern Seminary that matched the depth of impact on the students that would equal the speech that Dr. King gave on the campus. Obviously, it was a crisis period. It was a time when emotions of a deep nature were stirring, and so it would be obvious that the impact would be equally deep so far as the response of the faculty and students. So far as the impact on the churches in the South was concerned, obviously, it had a tremendous effect because at that period of time, Southern Seminary was, quote, the, unquote, seminary, and And in terms of its influence, and this is particularly true in the southeastern part of the United States, and therefore whatever Southern Seminary did, it had tremendous ramifications so far as the churches were concerned, which is not to say, of course, that the churches agreed. I would say, well, I really have no way of knowing what percentage agreed and what percentage did not agree. I do know that this was one of the factors, if not the major factor, that stimulated discussion and concern so far as the people of the Southern Baptist churches were concerned. And then the last one having to do with conversations with Dr. King, I've already indicated that unfortunately I do not recall any conversation. This is where I could wish that some of you who may remember more of the conversations and details would be able to share those bits of information that you remember, and this might trigger our memory and help us to be able to remember some other things. But I would say that I do believe that this was one of the most powerful periods, or one of the most powerful incidents that happened at Southern Seminary while I was present.